News 18 Daybreak. The perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Patikrit Sen Gupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. Islamic State struck the crowded gates of Kabul airport in a suicide bomb attack on Thursday, killing scores of civilians and at least 13 U.S. troops, disrupting the airlift of tens of thousands of Afghans desperate to flee. Kabul health officials were quoted as saying 60 civilians were killed. A video shot by Afghan journalists showed dozens of bodies strewn around a canal on the edge of the airport. At least two blasts rocked the area, witnesses said. Islamic State said one of its suicide bombers targeted translators and collaborators with the American Army. U.S. officials also blamed the group. The American casualties, which increased to 13 from 12 later on Thursday, according to U.S. officials, were believed to be the most U.S. troops killed in Afghanistan in a single incident since 30 personnel died when a helicopter was shot down in August 2011. The attack was carried out as U.S. forces raced to complete their withdrawal from Afghanistan after President Joe Biden said the United States had long ago achieved its original rationale for invading the country in 2001 to root out Al-Qaeda militants and prevent a repeat of the September 11 attacks on the United States. Biden vowed to go after the perpetrators of Thursday's bombing and said he had ordered the Pentagon to plan how to strike ISIS-K, the Islamic State affiliate that claimed responsibility. "We will not forgive, we will not forget, we will hunt you down and make you pay," Biden said during televised comments from the White House. Corpses were in the canal by the airport fence. Video from the scene showed some being fished out and laid in heaps while wailing civilians searched for loved ones. The U.S. deaths were the first in action in Afghanistan in 18 months, a fact likely to be cited by critics who accuse Biden of recklessly abandoning a stable and hard-won status quo by ordering an abrupt pullout. Karnataka Home Minister Gyanendra has withdrawn a statement he had earlier made on the alleged gang rape of a college student in Mysuru on Wednesday, after Chief Minister Basavaraj Bommai denounced his remarks. Gyanendra, while speaking to reporters on the incident, blamed the survivor for going to an isolated place and made tone-deaf remarks saying that the Congress party was raping him over the incident. CM Bommai disagreed with Gyanendra's statements and asked him to issue a clarification. Gyanendra on Thursday said that he had made the remarks while in a state of anguish. "I saw her, that is the survivor, as my daughter and was agonized. If what I said has hurt anyone, I withdraw the statement and apologize," he said. The Home Minister said that he himself will be travelling to Mysuru to take stock of the developments and the situation there. "As the survivor is in shock, we are not able to record her statement completely, but police have registered an FIR and all efforts are on to trace the culprits," Gyanendra said. A group of five men allegedly raped a college student near Chamundi Hills in Mysuru late on Tuesday. The girl and her male friend, who was assaulted by the gang, are undergoing treatment in a private hospital. Gyanendra had accused Congress of trying to get political mileage out of the incident. To a question on Congress's allegation that the law and order situation in the state has failed, Gyanendra said it is unfortunate that they are trying to play politics over such an incident. Chhattisgarh Chief Minister Bhupesh Baghel is likely to visit Delhi on Friday for the second time this week to meet senior Congress leaders, party sources said on Thursday, amid reports of continuing rift in the state unit, despite he rejecting talks about a rotation of the CM's post. According to Congress sources, several party MLAs who are close to Baghel have started leaving for Delhi, while two ministers and some legislators are already camping in the national capital. Baghel had returned to Raipur from Delhi on Wednesday evening after former Congress President Rahul Gandhi held meetings with him and Minister T.S. Singh Deo in a bid to resolve a power tussle between the two senior leaders. Earlier in the day, over a dozen Congress legislators and functionaries held a meeting at New Circuit House in Raipur, the sources said. The Chief Minister would leave for Delhi on Friday while Singh Deo is in Delhi, they said. A Congress MLA said they will discuss the situation in the state where the party came to power in December 2018 after ending the BJP's 15-year-long rule with the High Command. under the leadership of Chief Minister Bhupesh Baghel, we, that is the government, have been continuously serving the people of Chhattisgarh. We will talk to the Delhi High Command about the situation of the state. Devendra Yadav, among the legislators who left for Delhi, told reporters at the airport when queried about the purpose of his visit to the national capital. Asked how many Congress MLAs are going to Delhi, Yadav said, all, and all MLAs are united. Joe Root stamped his authority over the Indian bowling attack with the third masterful 100 in as many games, putting England in a dominant position on day two of the second test in Leeds on Thursday. Though India won at Lord's, they were not able to trouble Root, who got 121 off 165. And the England skipper extended his purple patch with his 23rd test 100 and 6th of the year to take his team to a commanding 423-48 at stumps on day two. England now lead by 345 runs. After openers Rory Burns, who got 61 off 153, and Haseeb Hameed, who got 68 off 195, gave England the start they were desperately looking for. Root and David Malan, who got 70 off 128, shared a brisk 139-run stand of 189 balls to pile the misery on the Indians, who were all out for 78 on day one. Root, as usual, was a delight to watch, scoring runs at will and all around the wicket. His 14 boundaries included his trademark punch through the cover, which brought about his 50 before he flicked one between mid-on and mid-wicket to get to three figures. Such was the range on offer that he also swept and reverse-swept left-arm spinner Ravindra Jadeja. Barring Mohammad Shami, the Indian pacers had another ordinary day, and Root made them pay for their erratic line and length. With his 23rd 100, Root equaled Kevin Peterson's record and is now only behind Alistair Cook, who got 33. Jasprit Bumrah managed to get one past Root's watertight defence late in the final session to end a memorable innings in front of his home crowd. India managed to pick five wickets in the session, but the damage had already been done. Malan, playing his first test in 3 years, lent much-needed solidity in an otherwise struggling lineup. With the confidence that the southpaw played, it didn't seem that he was away from the five-day game for a long time. India find themselves thrown in at the deep end and will have to bat extremely well to first avoid an innings defeat and then save the game from there on. The pitch has dried out and Indian pacers failed to get perches out of it for the second day running. Earlier runs came thick and fast for England in the afternoon session as Indian bowlers appeared toothless, both with the old and new ball. The hosts added 116 runs in the session with Root and Malan collecting runs comfortably. Against the run of play, Malan picked up a faint edge while trying to flick Mohammad Siraj at the stroke of tee. The Indian pacers, who scripted a memorable win at Lord's, bowled too many boundary balls and the England duo was quick to put them away. Root, who was in the form of his life, reached his 51st 50 of just 57 balls with a gorgeous back foot punch through the cover. Malan too played some delightful strokes and was brutal as well as elegant on the offside. Besides the cover drives and rasping cut shots, he also effectively used the glide to third man region. In the morning session, India struck twice, but it was not enough to put England under pressure. The home team managed to score 62 runs in the session, taking their first innings score to 182 for two, having started the day at 120 for no loss. Shami, coming round the wicket, removed Rory Burns in the first hour of play with a ball that nipped back in sharply to hit the top of off stump. India got a much-needed second wicket against the run of play when Ravindra Jadeja struck in his first over of the day with a beauty. The left-arm spinner got one to straighten slightly from middle and off-stump to beat a well-set Hameed and kiss the bails for his first wicket of the series. Ishan Sharma opened the bowling for India and, like on Wednesday, did not look at his best and struggled to find the right line and length on the surface. England fast bowlers had bowled much fuller on day one. The Indian attack, which relies on seam more than swing, was not able to extract much from the pitch. The accuracy which England pacers displayed was also missing. Siraj bowled a couple of looseners in his first over, which Malan duly cut to the deep backward point and third man respectively. The southpaw began with an elegant cover drive of Jasprit Bumrah before growing in confidence. Right everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again next week with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Have a very good day and a great weekend.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.